Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. This year, as I've studied and prepared for Good Friday and for Easter Sunday, I've just been struck by how many details, how many little parts God taught in the scripture. He tells us so much that happened leading up to the cross. And then while Jesus was dead for 3 days and three nights, and finally when he arose. Maybe many of us celebrate Easter with a kind of shallow understanding, minimal understanding of what really took place. And I'm praying today that you'll hear something that causes you to realize the reality, the power, the real meaning in our Easter celebration. We choose the first day of the week to celebrate our victory over death because Jesus rose on the first day of the week, a Sunday morning. In the old covenant, Saturday was the Sabbath, and we would worship and thank God for all that he did at the end of the week. It was very important and still is to those who follow the Jewish law. The Sabbath, Saturday, they honored God and they thanked God. But when Jesus came, there was a shift. It was a change. No longer law, it's a new covenant. No longer looking back, now we're looking forward. No longer just thanking God for what he did, we are trusting God for what we believe he will do. Maybe you've never made the shift from the Old Testament to the New. Maybe you still live in that kind of faith that looks back rather than looks forward. Maybe you've never understood why we as Christians worship on Sunday. Now really, any day is good to worship God. And every day we should give our faith to him. But it was the first day of the week, the first Easter morning, that he rose again. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, the Bible said, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid. I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going before you into Galilee, and you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. What an amazing story. Another one of those interesting details. This is not just a myth. This is not just a parable. This is not just some religious anecdote. I really don't even know what a religious anecdote is, but this is not that. This is God telling us what happened that changes our lives forever, that impacts eternity, and gives you the opportunity to connect with God in every way. Think of this, two women running to the tomb, having seen him die on a cross, having watched them take him down and place his body in the tomb. Two women come that first Sunday morning, and the angel meets them there, sitting on the stone. He's rolled away from the door. The soldiers that were there to guard the tomb, because they worried that the disciples would steal the body and say he rose from the dead. So they put soldiers there. Really, they're just there to prove what God said is true. But when the soldiers saw the angels, they both passed out. The Bible said they just like trembled and keeled over. Girls, they're standing strong. Guys pass out. This is like the birth of their first kid. They're just out. Some of you struggle with women in leadership, women in ministry, women in charge. You're all afraid to say amen, I know. But you might as well get over it because God didn't ask you. God just used two women to see into the tomb first. Two women who looked in and saw that he was gone. Two women who spoke to an angel sitting on the stone that had been rolled away. These women, one who'd grown up in church, one who'd grown up in the world, now became the first ministers, the first voices, the first evangelists. And they ran to the disciples to tell them, why weren't the disciples there? Where was the 12? Scared, hiding, afraid of the Romans, afraid of the Jews, not knowing what's going on, struggling with their doubts and fears. It was these women who were out finding out what's really going on. Thank God for women in leadership. Thank God for women with a voice. Thank God for women who are making a difference in our world. And if you're buying into this religious tradition that women should not be involved, read your Bible again. So many great women. Read your Bible and look for reality, not just your religious tradition. And you may see things in a brand new way. So I love Mary and Mary as they ran and they told the disciples, the tomb's empty, guys. Jesus rose from the dead. And there was an angel there and he told us what's going on. This is the first Easter morning. This is what the disciples experienced. God is showing us so much more than just a vague, mystical story. Maybe your faith has been a little bit weak and a little bit small, not very powerful, and not very practical because your faith is based on just kind of traditions and religions and things you heard from the priests and things you heard from the pastor, but you've never realized that God gives you the detail, gives you the insight, gives you the nitty-gritty of what really happened in the death, the burial, the resurrection of your Lord and Savior. If the resurrection is true, it changes everything. If Jesus really did what he said he was going to do, it changes everything. Now, if it's not, then just follow your tradition. Go along with your churchified Christianity light, right? You used to drink the good beer. Now you drink Budweiser light. You used to like that real Coca-Cola, 300 calories. Now you only drink Coca Light. Maybe at one time you knew the real resurrection power of Christ, but now it's Jesus light. And today I'm praying that I can just be nice, keep it light. It's the Easter crowd. Be nice. Don't say what you really want to say. Just offer a light beer. No calories, no power. Maybe our Christianity is kind of like COVID. You know, they say when you get the virus, then you normally don't get it again, right? Because you've built up your immune system. Or you can pay to get the virus and they'll vaccinate you. Right? Isn't that what they do when you get the vaccination? They give you a little shot of the virus, and it's just enough to build up your immunity so you can fight it off. They say that it makes you stronger. It'll help you. And so you can just hang around and get it for free, or you can pay to get it. And then you overcome it, you rise above it, you get through, and you're stronger. Your immune system is stronger. Maybe you've been vaccinated for Christianity. You've got enough of it to kind of know the big picture, but you don't really know the details. You've been to church enough to know what it's all about, but you don't really believe it day to day. I mean, on Easter Sunday, you go along with your wife, you do what you have to do, but it's not really a part of your life. I mean, there's no power there, no reality there. You've been Christian vaccinated. Just enough. The question is, will that get you to heaven? When the cancer diagnosis comes, will it get you healed? When your wife is called the divorce attorney, will it save your marriage? When your kids are struggling with their lifestyle, their sexual identity, or maybe suicide, will they have anything more powerful? If your Christianity isn't more powerful than your peer pressure, what good is it? If your Christianity is not more powerful than the world around you, what good is it? If your Easter is a bunny and an egg, what good is it? Now, I think you should have a bunny. Love the bunnies. I think you should have an egg. What are those little marshmallows called? You guys know this stuff. You should have some peeps. Is that really what they're called, peeps? Where's my peeps? Nobody brought me some peeps around here. I should have went to children's church so I could get some peeps. How come the kids always get the good stuff? Right, we love all that. Let's enjoy all of that. We're not against that. But if that's all it is, you're in trouble. You're going to die like everybody else, get sick like everybody else, go through divorce like everybody else, struggle like everybody else. And when you call upon the name of your God, he's a weak, traditional, religious God with no strength and no foundation. And your faith cannot bring you through. That's why we see so many Christians either walking away or living this defeated life because they've been vaccinated. They're trying to live on Christianity light. I want to be a Christian. I just don't want to have convictions. I want to be a Christian. I don't want to have to pay any price. I want to be a Christian. I just don't want to have to stand for anything. I'm glad Jesus stood for me and faced the devil, but I don't want to do that. If you believe this thing is real, make sure your kids know the details and have a real faith. If they don't, the college will take it away. The peer pressure will take it away. Their desire to be cool will be more powerful than their desire for eternal life. If you believe the resurrection is real, then what Jesus did becomes yours and it changes everything. If you believe he rose from the dead, your faith makes you a part of that resurrection. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Notice, to believe in Christ is to believe God raised him from the dead. It's not to believe he's a good teacher. It's not to believe he was cool. It's not to believe he was loving. That's all part. But the Bible said, do you believe God raised him from the dead? That's where you receive your salvation. That's where you become a part of the resurrection. That's where the power of God starts working in your life. I found that out 40-some years ago, struggling in addiction, suicidal, depressed, every problem you can imagine. And I found that this faith brings real power. I didn't need something cute and something nice. I needed more than a marshmallow peep. I found this faith, this resurrection, could overcome the addiction, could overcome the suicidal thoughts, could overcome the fears, could overcome the sicknesses and the diseases. I became a part of what Jesus did when I believed Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. When you believe, his victory becomes your victory. John writes in 1 John chapter 5, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Where's the faith that overcomes? Where's the faith that trusts God? Where's the faith that believes Christians rise above? Christians get healed. Christians prosper. Christians are in with resurrection power. Where's the faith? Well, you say, Pastor, you need to tone it down. I'm only here one time a year. You're kind of freaking me out. No, don't want to do that. I want to encourage you. I want to empower you that there's more than a cute Easter story. There's a power that can make you a better husband, can make your marriage fun, give something for your kids to live with, prosper your life, bless your life, heal your life. When God came for you, he wasn't teasing. He brought you every good thing. And so his victory is your victory. His resurrection is your resurrection. Paul prayed in Philippians chapter 3 that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul also wrote in Romans chapter 8, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. Well, Pastor, I mean, really, let's get real. I'm tired. I need a day off. I need more vacation. I need time to relax. I'm 28 years old. I'm about... Really? Really? You're too tired to chase the kids? You're too tired to help the wife? You're too tired to start that new company? You got no energy to rise above your current circumstances? Is that all the power? All the power you have isn't enough to blow your nose? Ooh, that's a good one, right? Tweet that. Tweet that, Aaron. Put that out there. All the religious power is not enough to blow your nose, right? But Paul prayed that I would know him and the power of his resurrection. Makes me a different kind of father. Makes me a different kind of husband. Gives me a different kind of family. Gives me a new vision. Takes me beyond my limitations that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. His resurrection is my resurrection. And finally, his new birth is my new birth. He's the firstborn from the dead. And the Bible said he's the firstborn of many brethren and sistren. Jesus was born again in hell. You and I were born again in our own aspects of hell, born again in our own fears and worries and confusion and sickness and pain and addiction and disaster, born to a new life, born to a new place, just like Jesus, born by the Spirit of God, came out of death, hell, and the grave with the power of resurrection. You and I come out of our old lives, come out of our own troubles, come out of our old ways, and rise to a new life. For many people, the born again experience is more of an idea than a reality. It's kind of a philosophical perspective. And a lot of people say, oh, I was born again when I got this new job. No, you weren't. I was born again when I met my girlfriend. No, that's called sexual lust. I was born again when I got into this new house. No, the born again experience is so much more than that. That's power. That's life. That's vision. That's eternity. That's putting you into a new place in your relationship with God. But most of us never knew that. We never heard that. We never read that in the Bible. We never embraced that in our Christianity. So we've had Christianity light. God's trying to bring us to a place where you have that resurrection power to overcome sickness, to overcome fear, to overcome doubts, to overcome marriage strife, to overcome this world that's getting crazier and crazier. The Bible said when you embrace the resurrection of Jesus, that resurrection power starts working in you. We become a new person in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If anyone, any race, any color, any nationality, anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. Let's go for the new, guys. Let's don't accept the way it is and just think, well, maybe when I get to heaven, it'll all be better. Yeah, heaven is definitely there, and thank God heaven is coming. But before I get to heaven, I'm praying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Show me your will on earth. Show me your plan for my life. I'm going to embrace resurrection power now. And then when I get to heaven, that's just frosting on the cake. We're not scared like the world is scared. Because we have a Father, we have a Savior, we have His Spirit. He's our healer. We're not scared. We don't care. We already died and rose from the dead, and the greater one is with us. Bring it on. I was born for this. You know, some people say, well, I was born with this addiction. I was born with this metabolism. I was born with this problem. I was born into a family of divorce. I was born into this problem. I was born into that. Yeah, no, you were born again. And you were born into victory. You were born into the resurrection power of Christ. You were born into prosperity. You were born into a promise. You were born into eternity. You were born into the family of God, your Father. Yeah, let's talk about that birth. We're not wandering like the world wanders. We know who we are. We have a purpose and a calling from God. We're not down, depressed, or discouraged because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Right now, our mental health struggles are getting worse and worse in our society. But we have something greater. Heals our soul, restores our soul. Our Christianity is not a fake. It's powerful and it lifts us. We're not afraid of death because we know the one who overcame death. Jesus attacked hell with a squirt gun. What are you scared of? What are you worried about? You're in Him. He's your Lord and Savior. Let's stand up with Him. Let's believe with Him. Let's walk with Him. Let's let our Christianity be real. And what the Bible says is true. And Jesus said, if you will abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from your fears, free from the sickness, free from the poverty, free from the strife, free from every negative emotion, free from every negative thing in this world. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. Church, no person's gonna make you free, but Jesus did, if you'll believe. No person can change your life, but Jesus can. If you'll believe. Let's pray together right now before we go. Maybe you realize I've never really made Jesus Lord of my life. I've never really connected with him in that way. I've never really thought of it as reality every day. Let's pray together. Sitting in church does not make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage would make you a car. Sitting in a doghouse doesn't make you a dog. You smell like a dog, but you're not a dog. Sitting in church doesn't change your life. But getting Jesus, believing, that changes everything.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app. Or go to the website at christianfaith.us.